I want you to get your Bible this evening and turn to Isaiah chapter number 57. Isaiah chapter 57, tonight's service and sermon are going to be just a little different. We're preparing for the last Sunday of our four-week revival, and I'm going to help us with that. Isaiah chapter 57, once you find that, find verse number 12, Isaiah 57, verse number 12. And then if you would stand with me, please. Isaiah chapter 57, starting with verse number 12. I'll read out loud and you can follow along silently. The Bible says this, I will declare thy righteousness and thy works, for they shall not profit thee. When thou criest, let thy companies deliver thee, but the wind shall carry them all away. Vanity shall take them, but he that putteth his trust in me shall possess the land and shall inherit my holy mountain. And shall say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. In verse number 15, you find the primary wording for this evening's sermon title, and I call it, Revive the Heart. Let's pray. Father, bless us now, Holy Spirit of God. It would be a waste of our time to have this meeting without you getting involved. So, Father, we ask that you would control my voice, my words, the teaching, the preaching, and then control our ears as we hear, control our perceptions, and help us to help a lot of people and help us to glorify Jesus as a result of this sermon tonight. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll have a seat there. People have all sorts of ideas of what America needs. America, some parts of America say, well, what America needs is a Democrat. And some parts of America say, what America needs is a Republican. And we've got a part of America that says what America needs is a new national anthem. We've got a part of America that says, well, what we need is that we need a new president. And we've got a part of America that says we need a new constitution in America. I can take care of all that. What we need is revival in America. That's what we need. We need revival. Here in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah mentions the need of a revived heart. That's the words that he used. Now, he's not speaking of the physical organ of the body, the heart. Most of the time when the Bible refers to the heart, it's in reference to the seat of our emotions, the emotional heart, or our will, if you will. If we revive our hearts, we're reviving our will, we're reviving our concern, and I think we need to rekindle our desire for the things of God. We need to reignite our willingness to do something with God and for God. I think God wants us to care. I think what is being said to a degree here is if you don't have revival, it's just that we don't care like we're supposed to care. He says, revive the heart. In other words, start caring about the things about which you should care. God wants you to have a caring heart. He wants revival in your heart. And if you don't have revival in your heart, I have to tell you, it's not God's fault because revival is available. Now, we're 3/4 of the way through a 4-week revival, and God's been good to us. If you're not being revived, it's because you don't care to be revived. Have you ever heard the old saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care? I think revival of the heart includes a revival of our caring mechanism, if you will. I would say to everybody here, if you're not having a revival, it's because your heart is not in it. So let's sincerely ask God to revive our hearts. Stir your heart. Stir your will. Ignite your willingness to serve Him. Now, Next week, on Sunday, we're having a big push and a big day here in our church. I'm not afraid to do something that's a little different in church just because I think we need to learn and see and grow as a result of not only what we hear, but of what we are doing. And so by the end of the night, things are going to take a little bit different of a turn. But before we get there, I just want you to know we need everybody's help to have a revival and to keep a revival going on. You might say, well, preacher, how could I help? You know, we're in the midst of a revival. What can I do to help? I'm going to tell you some things, and then I'm going to teach you some things about next week. If you want to have a revival of caring, I'll tell you what you could do. You could care by praying. You could care by praying. Luke 3:21 says, in praying, the heaven was opened. Somebody was praying. As a result of it, the heavens or heaven was open. That's what we want. Well, I like those services where you just know heaven opened up on you and God was working. And that's what we want. Hey, listen, you want help with the revival? Pray. Pray for your own revival. That's one of the biggest things. You pray for your own revival. But then pray that as a result of the next 7 or 8 days in our church life that a lot of people get saved. Pray that visitors will come visit our church and visitors will come to our tent meetings. Pray for safety. When you get busy doing all sorts of things for the Lord, there's a lot of potential for little accidents and things like that. So pray for safety. I would like to say pray for good weather. We're going to have 3 tent meetings next Saturday or next Sunday afternoon, but we're going to have them rain or shine. So you all know, if you're wondering, oh, we're going to cancel, I'm not much for canceling anything. So let's pray, though, that the weather be just right. But, you know, let's face it, we want to have revival. God wants to have revival. If we have inclement weather, that's God's choice. We're just going to go forward. But pray about it. Pray for a good start next Sunday morning in our Sunday morning services. As you know, we don't want to have a great afternoon and then let the morning fall off the map. We want to have a great, great morning. Do this. I don't know if you've ever done it. Have you ever prayed that God would have a miracle day?
Yes.
A miracle day. I love miracle days. I do. I have to think this morning was a miracle type of a morning church service. I don't know about you, but I just felt like God was here. But then, you know, last Sunday morning, I just feel like God was here. You know, how many churches you watch 20 people flood the aisle getting saved, but God's doing something there. Pray for a miracle day. But you can care, revive your heart by praying. Then, care by believing and encouraging. Care by believing and encouraging. Ephesians 1:19 says, believe according to the working of His mighty power. Folks, we might look at what we're trying to do and say, well, I don't know. Do we have the energy? Do we have the power to do it? No, I don't know that we do, but I know somebody who does. God does. He has the power to do it. So let's believe in that power and let's care about the revival. Let's revive our caring mechanism. And we'll do that by believing and we'll do that by encouraging. Have faith in God. I love the old timers. I enjoy the fact that we're watching DVDs of the old men of God. And I love the sermons that we're hearing. A picture of Dr. Bob Jones Sr. up here on the platform and CT stuff. The missionary. Oh, you know, what great men. Dr. Lee Robertson. Dr. Lee Robertson, he would stand in the pulpit and he would say, point number one, have faith in God. Faith in God. Have faith in God. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Just stay right on the old path. Faith in God. Just love to hear him say that. He could say, have faith in God in a way that just revolutionized those few words. I'm thinking, oh, that's good. That's good. Have faith in God. Well, we all know we're supposed to have faith in God. You heard a lot of people preach about having faith in God. But when Lee Robertson said it, you said, whoa, whoa, that was from heaven. If you ever heard him, he would just some simple 5 or 6 letter or word sentence and you're going, that was powerful. Hey, listen, folks, I can't say it like him, but I mean it. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Care by believing. Talk positive and express your belief in God's ability to do something supernatural for us. Someone said, expect great things from God and you'll receive them. Folks, if you shoot low, you're going to hit low. If you shoot high, you're going to get farther along than had you shot low. So let's believe God can do something great. Don't complain. Don't criticize. Get on board and just believe God for a great, great week. Now, I'll have to tell you, my daddy taught me a long time ago. He said, son, you got to pray like it all depends on God. Then you got to work like it all depends on you. He said that combination is what God's looking for. God's not looking to just give handouts when it comes to supernatural works. He's looking for people that'll pay a price, and then God will take care, and he'll use us. So, care by praying, care by believing. This is so simple, but care by being faithful. By being faithful. Psalm 31:23 says, the Lord preserveth the faithful. And that means he makes them last. A faithful church is a lasting church. A faithful people are a lasting people. But listen, please be in your place next week. And be on time. Be in Sunday school where you're supposed to be. Wherever it is, on your bus route, wherever you're supposed to be there and be on time. Don't look for excuses not to come, but look for solutions to anything that would try to hinder you from coming and being in your place. I was preaching a revival recently up north. Oh, I'm sorry, I cussed in the pulpit. I was preaching a revival up north, and a pastor said to me, he said, preacher, he said, every time I try to have a revival service, he said, it seems like my attendance goes down instead of up. He said, why is that? I said, I can't tell you why that is, but so often that can be very true. It's almost like people run from it. They run from it. Folks, I beg of you, don't run from it. Run headlong into it. That's what you need to do. So, be faithful. Hey, listen, if you don't help in one of the tent meetings or on one of the bus routes or whatever, do this. At least you be where you're supposed to be. Don't cop out on us. Don't just come up missing entirely. Help us. Be where you're supposed to be. I tell you this, we need help. Just be in church. You know, if you're not a part of the tent meetings, which is our, obviously, we're going to have our regular services in the morning and then a wave of services right after that. Help me get visitors into the church and help us, but be in Sunday school and be in morning church. So, you care by praying, you care by believing, you care by encouraging, you care by being faithful, and then care by listening. Care by listening. You know, the book of Matthew says in Matthew 13:15, their ears are dull of hearing. What that means, not hearing, they're not listening real well. Pay attention so we don't have to repeat things over and over again. As you're hearing instructions about what's going on, listen. Listen for yourself. Listen for your family. Listen for others. Sometimes you need to jot down an instruction or two. And folks, let me tell you something. There's a difference in listening with your ears and listening with your mind. And somebody can be staring right at you, and their ears are picking up vibration, but their brain is not connected to their ears. Now, every parent here, surely you know what I'm talking about. They heard some noise, but they didn't. That their perception wasn't plugged in, and so listen. Listen with your ears and with your mind. Be figuring this thing out, thinking through a little bit of it, so you can care by listening, but only that. Let me tell you, and now I'm going to get even more and more practical. What's our goal? What's our goal for this last weekend of our revival? And every time I say the last weekend of our revival, just so you all know, it's the last week that we have a plan that goes along with this fall program. The revival goes on. The revival goes on. We're not canceling revival because it's over with on the piece of paper that we handed out. But it goes on. But what's our goal? Well, 1 Samuel 17:9. This morning I preached a whole sermon called, Is There Not a Cause? Well, we have a cause. We have a cause. I think our cause is that God would be glorified. I'd like God to be pleased. We have a goal of we'd like to have maybe the best attendance that we've ever had here at our church. We had 297 people back at homecoming in September. Most normally, you don't try to have a big day just a few weeks later, but I'm not normal and we're not normal. And so this was in the hopper and we're going forward with it. But What's our goal? Well, we want to have a great... Now, we do want to have a great attendance in all of our Sunday school classes that morning and then our morning church service. That's part of our goal. What's our goal? We have three tent services right after that. It's our goal that all of them be very, very successful. We want to preach the Bible to as many people as we possibly can that day. Get the gospel out to as many people as we can. That's our goal. Our goal is to get as many people saved as we can. Hey, part of our goal is to get some involvement by uninvolved Christians. What's our goal? It's safety. What's our goal? It's revival. That's where we're going with this thing. And you say, Pastor, what is there anything else? The truth of the matter is, if God's glorified, a bunch of people are saved, well, we've accomplished a wonderful thing for the day. So that's our goal. So then you can care by being involved. Care by being involved. There's a lot of little things, and I try to set things up here at our church in this way. There is something that every level of Christian can get involved in this revival. Every level. We're gathering food for food baskets back here. That's not hard to do at all. You say, well, I can't go out and buy $100 worth of groceries for on that table. You don't have to. You can go get a 19-cent, 25-cent can of something and throw it on that table, and you have contributed. And remember, we'll gather those things through Wednesday night. You can care by putting the door knockers out, you know, for visitation. There's a bunch of them back there. You can care by being involved. You can care. Now, what's going to happen when we have the tent meetings, they're going to pass out some door knockers on one day. They're going to visit homes on another and then gather people on Sunday afternoon for the meeting. You can get involved in that. You can care by showing up on next Sunday afternoon at one of the tent meetings at 3:30 when we have the actual service and be there and help us greet and participate by doing it that way. You can care by helping us win souls when the altar call is given at the three tent meetings. We showed a DVD training people how to get someone saved, a soul winning training course the other day, that in case somebody didn't know how, they could learn how and work at it so they could participate. And let me say to everybody that's here, we have three evangelistic teams that will help at the three tent meetings that we'll have. When the altar call's given, we'd like to see God move in a powerful way. I'm not thinking that there'll be one or two people get saved. There might be dozens and dozens of people get saved. So those of you that are going to be ready for soul winning, you may end up dealing with three or four or five people at one time. And you then think through that, because we want to. I'd hate to think that we would have a meeting, have people that wanted to get saved, and there were people at home watching TV, and we didn't have enough people to do all the personal work at the tent meeting. So those of you that are at the tent meeting, get ready. I hope we're just overwhelmed with the number of people that want to get born again. But we're going to need your help. And you can help by being a soul winner. Now, if you can't do it all, someone had asked me the other day, said, Preacher, I didn't sign up to be on one of the teams because I can't be at everything. Hey, if you can be at anything, you're welcome to come, and you give what you can give. Tonight, In just a little while, we're going to dismiss and let people go to the three evangelistic teams are going to have a meeting. And if you want to go to one of those meetings, you certainly may. Hey, listen, if health prevents you from being a part of this thing, hey, pray for us while we're having the meetings. Pray for us. Say, I can't go out. I can't knock on doors. I can't get out there on the unlevel ground because all the tents are being set up in a grassy field. Say, I can't go out and do that. Okay. If you're at home, try this for me. Pray for an hour. Your health won't stop you from doing that. You say, I can't get on my knees. You can lay down and pray. I just turned the television off while you're trying to get it done. But you could pray for us. So care by being involved. Now, care by following the plan for our morning services. Remember, Sunday school teachers, we need a great day in Sunday school. So a big crowd. So teachers work at it. A big crowd in morning church. Everybody fifth grade and under, we've got a ball that has Jesus' name all over it. You're going to get it. Everybody sixth grade and above, next week in Sunday school, they're going to get that CD of Lester Roloff preaching his famous sermon called Pawing in the Valley. We have the Relationships MP3 that non-member adults will get one of these as a gift if they come next week. And you'll get one if you bring them. Don't forget about that. Katie Andrews will be ready to distribute those back there for us during the Sunday school hour. There's also a trip that we're giving away. You look at the flyer, it tells about it. Whoever has the most visitors, I think it's a minimum of four to qualify. You bring adult visitors and somebody can win a trip. I'm preaching a revival. Where in the world? Okay, Cedar Grove Baptist Church. No, it's Grace Baptist Church in Cedar Grove, North Carolina. I'm preaching a revival at the first week of December. And Mrs. Owens, if you win, you're going to get your hotel expense paid and your meals, and you can go to that revival with us. It's in the flyer. But all of that, we want to start out by doing well in our morning service. Then we go to the afternoon service. So we have Sunday school at the regular time. We have our church service at the regular time. And then we dismiss. And then what's going to happen is that the evangelistic teams are going to go out and they're going to start gathering the crowd for their tents. Okay? Now, I'm going to show you and talk to you a little more about that. The three tents are, they're located. We have one in Craven Terrace. And then we have one that's going to be at Trent Court, and we have another that's going to be at the Fox Chase Village. Those areas will be clarified if you're on one of the three teams. That'll be clarified. There are men leading each of those three teams. There's a captain, a co-captain, if you will, to help lead us when we go out there. Now, we've chosen because it's we think that the people in those areas will be attracted to and come be a part. We're calling it Have a Ball with Jesus. We've got a flyer. It's printed, and there's a location printed on the flyers. And that location is different, of course, for each of the three places where we're going. And this flyer, it says when, Sunday, November 19. What time? 3:30 p.m. sharp. Where? Look for the tent set up at, and there's an address and a geographical locator, if you will, so they'll know where. Who? It says people of all ages are invited to attend, boys and girls, all adults, men and women. Why? It says because our church cares. What else? It says there'll be a one-hour church service and a sermon in the tent, and we have some gifts that we're giving away. Then it says there'll be a free football. There'll be free football candy, and there's going to be a free 16-inch inflatable football given. I'll show you some of these. This is a 16-inch inflatable football, and everybody that comes is going to get one of these, all right? So good throw by me, bad catch by Jonathan. Then we've got a bunch of candy. This has candy. Footballs are printed all over it. We're just kind of using a football theme. You know, we're into the bulk of the football season, and it's just a few days later you've got Thanksgiving and the football, and so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to use the football to help us draw some people into these tent meetings. Every person in attendance, they're going to have a chance. Every one of the tents are going to have one of these footballs. We're going to give one of those away. And then this other football is a little bigger. Every one of our tents will have one of these that they'll give away. So we're giving away a 6-foot-tall football, a real Wilson football. Everybody's going to get one of those inflatable footballs. And then in the meetings, the food baskets are going to be, most of them, now not all, will be in these bags. And they're very nice canvas bags. Now, not all the bags will be that way because we're going to have so much food. We're going to give a lot of food baskets away, but we're going to be giving some of these away to help people at the meeting. Then they're going to be told when we visit them before the tent meeting, the Saturday before, to watch. The tents are not being set up until next Sunday morning. The tent company's doing that for us, actually Sunday afternoon. But we have a banner. Jack and Jonathan, can you guys unroll that banner? The only thing you need to do is to make sure it's right side up. Okay? Thanks, guys. And turn it so everybody can see it just a little. There you go. You guys are doing a great job. I can tell you've worked together a lot in life. Okay, those banners will be at the three locations because the tent won't be there during the week, but there's going to be visitation and things going on. They'll be told if you drive by the location, you'll see that banner. And that way they're going to know where to congregate. Now that afternoon when we have the actual tent meeting, the tent will be set up. All the chairs and everything will be there. Thank you, fellas. You can put that down. So that gives you an idea of what's happening. So what we're going to do is we're going to take door hangers and put them in the areas where we're going. Then on Saturday, we're going to visit them, and we're going to use these flyers, and we're going to talk to them about it. And then on Sunday, after church is done here, we'll go back out to the area, maybe might distribute a few more flyers, but then we'll just start encouraging people to meet over at the tent at 3:30. Okay, so that's how it's going to work. Now, a couple things I do want to say. The Fox Chase area, that's the area where Brother Elswick is leading. They have asked us, it's a big mobile home community. And to be honest, I think most of the people that live in that area are Burmese people. But the owner, they're pleased that we're doing what we're doing, but they said we can't park all of our cars in their mobile home park. And so right across the street is Roses, and Brother Elswick, we might need to get a van or something to get some people back and forth. If you are handicapped and you wanted to come to that meeting, you could park your car over there. But everybody else, we need to get you from right across the street over, because they don't want a bottleneck and congestion. It's a big mobile home park, and so they've asked us to park across the street. And then, so Brother Elswick, you'll have to remember that and help your team to remember it. Now, when we're done with the meetings, and so you understand, we'll get the meeting started at 3:30. We'll be done about 4:30 with the meeting. Tent companies coming back to get their tents and put them away. We'll all be done before it begins to get dark. Then we're not going to have our 6 o'clock clubs. We're not going to have Flyers Club, King's Kids. We're not going to have Youth Ablaze. We're not going to have a choir practice. Brother Edwards, are you all accommodated in regard for the choir for next Sunday night? Okay. And so we'll have church here at 7 o'clock then. And we'll all come back together to find out what the Lord has done for us that day. And so that is the plan. Now, then the Wednesday night afterwards is our Thanksgiving service. And as you know, we always try to have something special. That Wednesday night, we're going to attribute it to thanking God for the revival that we've seen in our church, not only during this 4 weeks, but we've been in a perpetual revival. And I want to go ahead and thank Him in advance for the revival that's going to continue. But that's what we're going to do. Now, for little ones, and I'm talking about nursery age kids, we have it set up. So if you need someone to watch the kids and you want to participate, and you have, you know, if you have babies and things, we will have a nursery that afternoon that will help you to get through the day. Now, let me tell you this. Team number one is led by Brother Uriah Crawford and David Steed. They're going to Trent Court. Team number two is led by Brother Elswick and Brother Chris Edwards, and they're going to the Fox Chase Village. Team number three is Brother Young and Brother McGirt, and they're going to the Craven Terrace area. In just a minute, I'm going to dismiss this meeting, and I'm going to ask that those of you that are working on one of the teams, you go to a meeting in one of the other big rooms, and the team captain is going to take a moment with you, acclimate you to the schedule, because the truth is, I'm going to be able to hint at some things between now and next Sunday, but this is the night where we're finishing off the organization for these three tent meetings. Now, I do want to tell you this. I want to get a big tent someday. I think we start with three smaller tents. We'll see how things go. I could see us get a real big tent. I could see us having a real powerful meeting. But we'll start this way to get ourselves ready, and we'll figure it out a little bit. You know, the old timers, they used a lot of tents, a lot of tent revivals. It's not so popular anymore, but I think it's still a good thing. So that helps you to understand the scripture that I gave you tonight, Isaiah 57:15. He talked about reviving the heart. What was he talking about? You need a revival of your care mechanism. You ought to care about these sort of things. Now, I told you, you could care by praying. You could care by believing. You could care by encouraging. You could care by being faithful. You could care by listening. You could care by getting in on the goal, and care by being involved. Care by helping us have a good Sunday morning, and care by helping us Sunday afternoon. Let's have a whopping finish to the fall program. Now, I'm done, and I want to give plenty of time for what's going to come next. But We need to bow our heads and close our eyes as normal. We're going to have an altar call. It's not going to last long, but if you need a moment at the altar, I'll ask you to come. In a second, the pianist is going to begin to play. We're going to stand to our feet. If you're not saved, you come. We'll take a Bible and show you how to be born again. If you need the altar, you come. Maybe you just want to come and have a brief word of prayer about the tent revival that's forthcoming. But we need to get God in on this thing. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed, our eyes closed. If you want to pray for a second, you may certainly come. You have a cause. This sure gives you a chance to have a cause. I could picture next Sunday being a powerful thing. If we wanted to bring all these people to our property, we couldn't do it. We couldn't get everybody I think we could reach here. So we'll have one service, and then we'll turn right around and have the three using the tents for additional service. We'll add them both together. We'll see how many people we can say we had in church next Sunday. I hope you'll take part. I hope you'll want to be a part. One thing you can do is, you know, and let me tell you something, if you don't like something that we're doing, then just don't participate, but don't throw cold water on the fire. Tell you, the biggest critics of this type of thing that I've had through the years are always people that never bring anybody down the aisle, never bring a visitor to church, never do anything, but they know how it ought to be done. All right. Thank you, Sarah.